It doesn't have anything to do with the message, but it does have plenty to do with our future in the next few months. And then Pastor Kimberly's going to come, and she's going to lead us in a prayer that the Holy Spirit gave her, and it's very powerful. We did this on Wednesday night. But here's what I received. I had been walking with the Lord and asked him for direction concerning prayer for our country. And this is what I received. As I was walking with the Lord this morning, I inquired of him concerning how to pray for the election and our country. I had already been praying in the Spirit for a while when I inquired of the Lord. Here's what I received, and it came very quickly, folks, came very fast. First of all, he gave me Genesis 18:25 in the Amplified. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right by executing just and righteous judgment? The inference was to ask the Lord to execute his righteous judgment concerning this coming election. Another very important verse was in Psalm 76:8 and 9. Amplified, you caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was quiet when God arose to establish judgment and to save all the humble of the earth. And I put in parentheses, that also includes the unborn. Finally, here's where we especially come in. This is Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9. So my understanding is that we are to intercede to the Lord strongly, and I'm going to read Psalm 149, strongly asking for his judgment to be applied and needed over the next 3 months. This is really about righteousness versus unrighteousness. Abortion rights, secret sins of leaders, all that kind of stuff. So thanks for being who you are and for your faithful witness. And this is, before Pastor Kimberly comes, this is Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9 in the Amplified. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy. There's the joy word again. On their beds. How many godly ones here do we have? Everybody ought to have your hand up. All right. Let the high praises of God be in their throats or mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. All right? A two-edged sword is obviously the word of God as we know it. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains. And we're talking about powers, principalities, things like that. Paul said we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities in high places. So to bind kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the judgment written, this honor, this is the honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So, I'm going to ask Pastor Kimberly to come before I bring the word today and lead us in prayer.
Say with me, I'm the most strongest person in this nation because I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, yeah, so you're the most powerful people, so would you stand with me? And we're going to decree and we're going to declare this morning, so I want you to look up toward heaven, raise your hand, your right hand if you want to, but I want you to repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that our nation would be flooded with the truth. We bind the evil right now, and we speak righteousness will reign. We loose the sword of the Spirit. And we pull down every agenda against Jesus Christ. And we say, come down now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for giving us the same authority that you gave your Son. We declare that justice, the justice system, of the United States of America, you have eyes to see now, and we lay the axe to the root of unrighteousness being done over this nation. We bind up the hatred that is being planted in the minds of this nation. And we loose the love of Jesus Christ. We say to the evil spirits, you will not talk. Your voice of hate must shut up now. In Jesus' name, we say, leave our cities. We have been given the keys of heaven, and you must leave now. We speak to the atmosphere over our cities. Peace be still. We say to the evil spirits, you cannot overcome the church of Jesus Christ. We say righteousness will flow like a mighty river. Now, Father, forgive me for any lukewarmness or perhaps standing when I should have stood. And Father, we thank you for the healing of this nation. Amen. Bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. How many of you are glad that you're a part of this last day kingdom, this last day church? Amen. I think it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak today and teach you on how to reign in this life. How many are ready? All right. So let's look at some scriptures, and then we'll give you the fill-ins, okay? Let's go to the first one. This is one of my favorite life scriptures. Love it. Romans 5:17, for if by the one man's offense, who's the one man? Adam. If by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, say much more, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, say I've received the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, praise God, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So I'm looking at a bunch of kings and priests today. Hallelujah to God. And the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. Right. And so when you bind, when you loose, when you decree, there is the power of God's word, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen, all working together in one instance. Hallelujah to God. And how many know when one guy said, when I drive down the highway, I'm not alone. I've got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the front seat with me, and goodness and mercy are walking behind me. Hallelujah to God. So this is a great day to be alive. Tell your neighbor, this is a great day to be alive. So let's give you the fill-in for this. Romans 5:17 promises that we should reign in this life, reign and rule. Note the keys. The abundance of grace. You haven't been given just a little grace. You've been given an abundance of grace. Say, I have more than enough of the grace of God to win in this life. All right. And the gift of what? Righteousness. How many know you didn't earn it? Right? You were given it as a grace, as a gift once you receive the Lord. As a result, and I love this, there are five blessings that we should expect to accompany our victorious walk. First of all, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are righteous in Christ. Go ahead and tell him. I want to hear you say it. Say this, I am righteous in Christ. Praise God. And how many know you will always be righteous in Christ because it's a gift that keeps on giving and he never will take it away from you, right? So we're walking with him. How many have no intention of walking away from the Lord? Let me see your hands. All right. So this is a gift that keeps on giving and will never stop. Now, let's look at number one. God's blessing in our minds. Our minds. I mean, no, people's minds are under attack in these days. Isn't that right? As never before. That's why we need to know greater is he that is what? In us than he that's in the world. I've got something powerful to share with you along these lines in just a minute. And I think most of you probably have not heard this really great news. How many are up for some really good news? All right. So, let's see. Let's look at Proverbs 10:6 first of all. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Everybody say, blessings are on my head. Because I am righteous in Christ. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. I think we're seeing that today played out, aren't we? All right, so blessings are on the head of the righteous. This is interesting what this actually infers, and we'll give you the fill-in in a minute. But let's look at Matthew 27 and verse 29. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed. The reed speaks of, you're weak, you don't have any power. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, the crown of thorns speaks of the curse. How many know when, in Genesis 3, when God put a curse on the earth, he said, you're going to bring forth thorns and thistles. And I believe we'll be able to read that in just a minute. So God is reversing and has reversed this curse in people's lives. Let's look at some more of this. The sacrifice of Jesus has redeemed our minds. Let's look at Luke 22:44. So he not only had a crown of thorns placed on his head, which speaks about the reverse of the curse. Tell that person next to you, your thinking is no longer cursed. Your thinking is blessed. All right. And then, Luke 22:44, now there was also a dispute among them as to which, it should be Luke 22:44, if we can get that one. Luke 22:44. And we'll get it in just a minute. Hallelujah. How we doing? We'll get there. All right, good deal. They do a really good job back there in the booth. Give them a hand. They do. They really do. God bless you guys. That's an unseen ministry, so to speak, so thank you. All right, so, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord sustained him through angels, but the enemy was trying to take him out right there in the garden. But the very first mention of the blood of Christ being shed was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it came from his head. How many know he's paid the price for us to be free in our minds? Can you say amen? To walk in peace. What did he tell his disciples? He said, my peace, my shalom, because he spoke to them in Hebrew. He said, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace do I give to you. And then he said, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. How many know we can allow ourselves to get fearful, right? Tell your neighbor, don't do that. Yeah, because Jesus has paid an awesome price for us to be whole and well in our minds. So thorns spoke of the curse. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for the dust you are, and dust you shall return. So Jesus paid the price for that. He took the curse, drops of blood, so that we could be productive, that we could have prosperity and blessing, that our mind in particular would be clear. Now, I say this, as believers, we are no longer under the earth curse system. Tell that person next to you, you are no longer under the earth curse system. You say, well, PD, if we're not under the earth curse system, what are we under? The kingdom of God, folks. You have been translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Where is that, PD? Colossians 1:13. Not in your notes, but listen, we are kingly people. We are heavenly people. Yeah, we have an earthly body, but also we are heavenly people. Now, I want to tell you this. How many are ready for some really good news? Hallelujah. Say, lay it on me, Pastor.
Lay it on, Pastor.
Don't hesitate. All right. How many of you ever heard of Sandra Kennedy? You ever heard of her? All right. Sandra Kennedy is an awesome pastor. Ina and I have been there in Augusta, Georgia. Sandra Kennedy has an awesome healing ministry. They pray for the sick all the time. They've had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people healed of cancer over the last number of years, probably into the thousands now. They teach them the word before they pray for them. But it's a great place. A number of years ago, they bought out a shopping center right next to the Masters Golf Championship. They call it the Master's Touch. They have a place where people can get clothes and food. They've got a great auditorium. They've got a Christian bookstore. They have a place to eat, a cafe. But most important, you know, they're really bringing the kingdom of God and teaching the kingdom of God. Well, something happened at the beginning of August, and this will affect us. Because she said this. She said, the thing that happened to us was a sign to us. And God said, this is a sign not just for you, but for all other churches that are moving in the Holy Spirit. Say, that's us. Say, I'm a part. All right. Here's what happened. And she very calmly, you can see this on YouTube, Sandra Kennedy. Dr. Sandra Kennedy. She said she was in the auditorium. And this is on a non-church day, but she said her associate came to her and said, Pastor, something is baking in that ark over there. It was a big ark, a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. There was nothing in it. They'd had it there just in place for 18 years. And he said, Pastor Kennedy, is there anything in the ark? She said, oh, no. She said, there's nothing in there. She said, we sell little replicas of the Ark in the bookstore, but she said, there's nothing in that. I think there was some small little plastic pieces of bread, right? And a twig, that's it. He said, well, something's baking. She said, go bring it. So he and a couple other people, they carried it on over and sat it down. They open it up, and there's fresh bread in there. Freshly baked unleavened bread. And then there was a large staff, and it had Hebrew writing on it. No more twig, but a large staff. It had a gold knob, I think, on the top, you know, and on the bottom they had to take a picture of it, and they sent it to one of their colleagues down in Israel, and he said, one of the writings in Hebrew was the word Aaron. And the Lord spoke to her and he said, beginning August 1st, he said, I am releasing signs and wonders all over this country in churches and places that honor me and believe me for these things. How many say, I'm ready for that? Praise God. The Lord is getting involved with us as never before. And so what does this have to do with? It has to do with our mind insofar as that we need to expand our belief system. We need to see God as much bigger than we think he is. Tell your neighbor, it's time for you to expand your thinking. Hallelujah. Go ahead and tell him. Amen. He's a great big God, and we believe that, you know, we have tapped into this, and it's going to be an awesome rest of the year. Praise the Lord. All right, number two, God is God's blessing on our prayer life, our prayer life. Proverbs 10:24, let's look at it. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Say, I'm righteous in Christ. So my desire will be granted. Absolutely. All right. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God hears your prayer. Can you say amen? When we come together, and I would love to see all of you here on this coming Thursday at 6:30 to 8:30, I believe that we ought to come believing that none of our words will fall to the ground, but we will see them fulfilled. Can you say amen? All right. All right. I want you to be bold in your praying. You say, do you have a story to tell us that would encourage us? Thank you for asking. I do. I'm loaded with stories. Squeeze me and stories come out. All right? I remember this is years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, get up and go to see Roy Horton. It was a guy in Shreveport where I was pastoring at the time with Ina, and said, go there to his office. And he had this particular business office. I think he worked for John Hancock. It's kind of an all-purpose thing. They had insurance. They had different investments that you could do. So I got there, and he said, thank you, Jesus, that you came in. He said, I was about ready to pick up the phone and call you. I said, well, God told me that I needed to come see you. And he said, well, man, he said, Johnny on the spot. He said, I got to tell you the problem. He said, I've got some real serious issues. I said, what? He said, well, first of all, he said, this family moved in from Fort Worth, and I've lost their account somewhere in cyberspace. I don't know where it is. And it's been missing for 2 weeks. So I said, well, do you believe that we can speak to the atmosphere like we just did and that things will change? He said, I have to believe that, or I'm in serious trouble. I said, so we're going to do it right now. So we spoke the word. We agreed. How many know there's power in agreement? Tell the person next to you, there's power when you and I agree. So we joined hands, and we spoke the word. And I said, okay, get ready for an answer. He said, cool. What else you got? Bring it, Bubba. Come on. What you got? He says, well, this has been the worst month of the year. This is September. This has been the worst month of the year. And he said, so things have got to change or I'm going to lose my job. I said, well, we don't want that to happen. So I said, I believe God's given us confidence. He's heard you on the first thing we prayed about. And I said, he's going to hear us on this. So we spoke over his business that God would bless it and multiply. The Bible says, when you bless the people of God, put the name of God on them, Jesus Christ, and in blessing I will bless them, and in multiplying I will multiply them. So I said, get ready. Get ready for multiplication. Whoo, glory. Walked out. Didn't hear a thing from the guy. Didn't hear anything in September. Nothing in October. Nothing in November. Nothing in December. You say, oh, Brother Dave. January, I get a long typewritten letter. He said, I've been waiting to write you. He said, 2 hours after you left, he said, we got the account back. It just reappeared. Cha-ching. Hallelujah. He said, September ended the best month of the year for me. But, he said, I didn't write you because October was better than September. I didn't write you because November was better than October. I didn't write you because December was better than November. And he said, January is the best of all the months we've had put together. I went, whoa. He said, yeah, wow. God is real in you. I said, absolutely. Wow. So how many know God will honor your prayer life? He will honor it, especially when you agree together. Everybody say, nothing is impossible for my God. Wow. All right. I believe you believe it. Okay. And we'll look at a few other scriptures along those lines. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Say, his eyes are on me. And his ears are open to their prayers. Wow. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right. So let's look at the next scripture, which is 1 John 5. Love this one. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask only certain things. Say anything. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is his will, folks? His word. Right? Say his will is his word. Where are the promises found? In his word. Sure. Okay. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, wow, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God loves you. Say, God really loves me. Say, God hears my prayer. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Whoo, glory to God. All right. So, you righteous folks, let's look at number three, God's blessing on our emotions. Boy, we need that right now. God's blessing on our emotions. Proverbs 10:28. Let's look at it. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. Ain't no sadness. Gladness. What do you think? For eternity, you're going to be walking in awesome joy. Huh? I don't know if they have holy rollers in heaven. They probably do, but you're going to be just so full of gladness and joy. But how many know it ought to start right now? Ought to start right now. But the expectation of the wicked will perish. So you are righteous in Christ, so get ready for gladness. You need to expect it. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's see. Isaiah 61, verse 10. All right. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I don't know what you guys are going to be singing about joy on and the team, but this is perfect. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as the bride ordains herself with jewels. All right. But I love the first part. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in me. So, he has clothed us with his righteousness and his joy. So, God's blessing is on our emotions. How many know there's a difference between joy and happiness? Happiness depends on what's happening. What's happening, man? You know? Well, I couldn't make my car payment this week, and don't know how I'm going to make my house payment this week. See, that's, I don't feel good. I have no happiness. Well, how many know happiness and joy are two different things? Joy is a divine characteristic, and you've got it in the Holy Spirit. Kingdom of God is what? righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 14, right around 17th verse. Okay, so God can break in with joy anytime, any place. Can you say amen? I remember I was in New York State, this is years ago, and speaking up there, and when I finished, Frank McCracken Sr. came to me. He said, Dave, he said, we have a lady in my office that can't breathe. This is not COVID. We're not talking about this. This is many years ago. And he said she has terrible asthma. And we need to pray that God would release her. So we go in there, anoint her with oil, and then we began to speak God's healing into her lungs. Now, how many know God has a sense of humor? Tell your neighbor, God has a sense of humor. You know what happened? You know what the first manifestation of her healing was? Laughter. God got a hold of her emotion. She'd been singing the blues for a long time. And God filled her up with his joy and gladness. And she started laughing and couldn't stop. How many know it's really tough to laugh for maybe 2 minutes straight? This lady kept laughing and laughing, and her face got red. And she said, open the window, I'm burning up. And then she went right back into laughing again. We stood there and just kind of like, just watched her. Just watched the Holy Ghost move in her life, you know. So we opened the windows, wintertime! And the gusts are coming in. She's going, she's fanning and goes right back into laughing. She's going on 10, 12 minutes. We said, we'll be back. I think she went 20 minutes and just laughing under the Lord. And she was healed. She was healed. Praise God. All right. Then number four, God's blessing on your finances. Maybe we ought to skip that and go to the next one. Okay, I'm kidding. God's blessing on your finances. Let's look at Proverbs 15 and 6. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. But in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. So God wants to fill your house up, right? Why? Because you're the righteousness of God. Oh, Pastor Dave, I don't think I deserve it. Shut up. None of us deserve anything except hell. But Jesus, amen, has made all the difference. And now we are his kids. We are King's kids through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so everything that he has purchased for us, I want it. Tell a person next to you, everything that he's purchased for me, I want it. Praise God. Yeah, come on now. Kingdom of God, listen, man, one of my favorite scriptures is in Matthew, I think it's the 11th chapter, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How many spiritually violent people do we have? Let me see your hands. So don't take no for an answer. Rise up, right? Amen. And know that you have these wonderful things that God wants to release in your life. So let's look at Proverbs 15 and 6. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked, there is trouble. Let's look at 3 John chapter 1, verse, there's only one chapter, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, how many know you're beloved? Tell the person next to you, you're beloved. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in a few things. Are you a person that teaches the prosperity gospel? Well, I'm in agreement with John. How many are in agreement with John? And how many know John's in agreement with Jesus, right? Okay, all right. So, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Whoa, man, that's the hat trick. I mean, that covers all of it, right? Wow. So these are really key scriptures that we need to lean on and believe. And then Jeremiah 23, 3 through 6. Okay. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. You're part of that remnant, folks. Where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, that they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, not beat them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. Tell that person next to you, you don't have to lack anymore. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. That's Christ. A king shall reign and prosper. That's Jesus. And execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved. Judah speaks of praise. And Israel will dwell safely. And now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So we are righteous in Christ. There was a little guy who, back in 2000, 2001, Richard Hamilton and I went to his class. Richard's coming back from out of town. He had to be with his father. That family's going to be back in town this week. But it was an investing class. And this guy, Gary Williams, worked for Firestone. He made tires. He didn't work in the Firestone shop, per se, but he is in the warehouse making tires. He would come home covered from head to foot with soot and black. And took him a long time in the shower to get all the stuff off him. And he was doing that day after day after day. And finally, I mean, he was a believer, and he said, God, there's got to be a better way for me. There's got to be a better way. And so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord got a book. He began to read this book on investing, and the Lord linked him up with another person that gave him wisdom. And so he began to invest, do options and things like that. And the time came when he didn't have to work anymore. And the time came when the Lord made him a multimillionaire. And he showed his foreman how to invest. And he had a class in the company to show them how to do it and get free. And at first, his boss didn't even want to listen to him. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I just do my job. You do your job. He said, well, I'm not going to be doing it much longer because I'm about ready to leave here. I don't need the job. But I want to bless you. I want to help you as a believer. I want to help you. And he showed his boss what had happened. His boss said, I'm pulling up my chair to sit at your feet. Teach me. Transformed his boss's IRA and all that other kind of stuff. And he said, I'll never forget the day. He said, I sat outside my job and watched all these people having to go to work. And he said, here I am able to serve the Lord. And he said, I just had a praise and worship session because the Lord had set me free in that area. How many are ready to get set free? How many know you don't have to do it the way he did it? But how many know God has a way? His way and means committee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he will show you, he will give you wisdom, he will show you how to get free financially. We are supposed to be the head and not the tail. Can you say amen? We need to start looking for opportunities for God to break into your economy, to break into your finances, and make a difference. How many know he will do it? Because you are what? You are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you are blessed because of that. Hallelujah to the Lord. All right. Then it says the blessing, like others, must be received through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the final one. God's blessing of favor. Favor. He will open doors for you that you could not open. And he will have you at the right place at the right time and have you meet the right person who will bless you. Psalm 5 and 12. Psalm 5 and 12. I love this. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Say, that's me. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Everywhere you go, you can expect the Lord to surround you with favor. Right? You have a parking place. You're at the right place at the right time. I remember one time I had to go to the hospital. I had to pray for somebody, and I couldn't find a parking place. I went around and around and around and around. And I said, the only place I can park here is a handicap. I don't have a handicap. I'm just going to take a chance. I'll contest it if I have to. Park in there, go in, pray for the person, come back, ticket. It's a ticket. I said, Lord, I am surrounded with favor as a shield, and I believe, Lord, that when I go to the judge, that I won't have to pay this because of the circumstances. I believe he'll have understanding. And so I go to the court on that particular day. I walk in there, and here is Judge Girard. You say, who is he? Judge Girard was a judge whose whole family went to our church. He didn't go, but his whole family went. The thing that you have to know is the week before, I had performed a wedding in his home. Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. I married, Ina was there with me, and we married his daughter off to another guy. The daughter went to the church, too. He says, Pastor Dave, what are you doing here? I said, okay, here's the deal. And I told him the situation. Here's the situation. And he said, give me the ticket and get out of here. He says, I believe you. Ticket, I'll take care of it. Go. Take off. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Man, I'm covered with favor, and so are you. You need to start boasting in him. Boast in the favor that you have with God. Amen? Yes. Yes. Wow. Wow. Everybody, I'll tell you what. Everybody stand. Just a minute. I got to read this last part, and we're going to do something different. I wrote this out. His grace gives us the wisdom and courage to change our negative habits and to make excellent decisions and flow in our gifts. Pastor Kimberly, I want you to come here because here's how we're going to do this. We're going to break up into circles around the auditorium. Yes. You sure? Yeah.
Speaking on the sermon that you just preached today, earlier mentioned about my mother passing. Okay, in him answering prayers. God answered my prayer because I prayed to see my mother one more time before she passed because I knew it was coming.
Yes.
And God answered the prayer by taking my mother out of the nursing home where you couldn't enter and placed her in the hospital. And you're not supposed to go there either.
Yeah.
But he allowed me in the hospital to spend time with my mother. Beautiful. I was able to hold her hand.
Beautiful.
And then when you speak of the joy.
Yes.
The day my mother died, Ronnie and I got ready to go to the funeral home. And Ronnie got in the shower. I was waiting for her to get out of the shower. I laid across the bed. And I quietly said, I love you, Mama. My mother appeared with the Holy Spirit, and she said, I love you too.
Wow.
And then she faded out.
Wow.
So on your sermon today, it was very heartfelt.
Praise God. Praise
Thank you.
God. Oh, very cool. And you're surrounded with favor, brother. I mean, we all are. We all are. All right, Pastor Kimberly, come on up, and we're going to get in different circles, bring each one into a circle. She'll tell you what will happen.
Okay, so we're going to split up in prayer teams. So up in the front will be Pastor Dave and Pastor Ina, Pastor Pius and Pauline. Then over here to my left will be Hal and